Our Father, as we begin to look to your word this morning, we pray that you would speak to each of us. Give us joy as we recount one of the incidents in the Christmas narrative. Amen. It's the day before Christmas, and all through the land, wherever you look, things seem rather grand. Gifts have been wrapped and placed near the tree. The hearts of the grateful are filled with glee. We've purchased and wrapped, and now we're cash-strapped. We've thought and we've thought, and we hope what we bought will make someone happy and maybe give joy on the day we celebrate the birth of a boy. At the service tonight, there will be great delight as we listen again to the words of our Lord and pray that tomorrow our kids won't be bored. With only 12 hours left to go shop, perhaps now would be a good time to stop, to take a good look at the words in the book, to remember the joy in the birth of that boy. The shepherds had been to the manger to see the child named Jesus and his mother Mary. They glorified God and praised him some more, never envisioning what God had in store. Soon after the birth of our Savior, we're told, precisely when Jesus was just 8 days old, a rabbi would hold and circumcise him. That was the mark he was from Abraham. Now, after their days to be clean were complete, the parents of Jesus were back on their feet. The law of the Lord decreed they should go to the temple with Jesus in order to show their devotion to God and give thanks for his love, and offer to God a small turtle dove. It's what happened next that concerns us today, when a man named Simeon stood in their way. We read of that man in Luke chapter 2. Follow along is what I'd like you to do. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 and following. Now there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him that by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed him and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will place through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. This is the word of the Lord. It's Christmas. It is a time when we are filled with joy. Or at least we hope we're filled with joy. And it is a time when we anticipate a lot. And it is that anticipation of joy which impacts our lives. And we learn from Simeon that when we anticipate joy, we are faithful. We are told that Simeon was righteous and devout. It's an interesting mixture of terminology. The righteousness spoke to his moral life, that he was a fair-minded man, that he was kind, that he tended to do things right. You might say that his faith affected his life. But it says that he was righteous and devout, which in a sense raises his spirituality, because devotion speaks to your spiritual life. And biblically it signifies that Simeon was careful in his religious duties. Spiritual things were important. He went to the temple on a regular basis, not because they had free cookies, but because he wanted to meet with God. And he had this anticipation of great joy that he would see the Lord's Christ. And when you have an anticipation of joy in a coming event, it impacts you. It impacts the way you see life. When you anticipate an event which will fill you with joy, it changes today. The anticipation of joy impacts the way you see the world around you, and it also impacts the way you see God. If you anticipate only sadness and sorrow, then you're going to be a sad, sorrowful individual. But if you're anticipating a time is going to come when you are going to be so full of joy that whatever happens today doesn't matter, it changes the way you view today. When you anticipate that God will fill you with joy, you become more faithful. Simeon had his hope fixed upon the coming of the Christ child. His hope anticipated the joy which was to come. For throughout Israel and throughout devout Israelites, there was this anticipation that the Messiah would come and set things straight, and the world would be as they thought it ought to be. And this filled them with joy, even in light of the oppression of the Romans. Simeon anticipated the joy which was yet to come, and he lived his life in light of that hope and the anticipated joy. When you live in hope, you anticipate joy, and you live in faithfulness. Paul writes to Titus these words, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." While Simeon was looking for the birth of Christ, for the coming of Christ the first time, as believers in Jesus Christ, we now have this blessed hope that he is going to return, and out of that blessed hope, we anticipate with joy all that will be set right. And because we know Christ is returning, it changes the way we live our lives. If you know that Christ is returning, a lot of stuff which would irritate us, which would bother us, which would destroy our well-being, is seen in the light of the eventual return of Jesus Christ. And so we live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives, not because we think that it's going to gain us something here, but because we anticipate with great joy that the trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is going to come back. The Christmas story pales in comparison to what will happen when the trumpet sounds, when every knee shall bow, when every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Christmas story, as wonderful as it is not nearly as significant in the life of the believer as the anticipation of the joy of seeing Jesus face to face. Simeon showed us an example of someone who was faithful to consistently come to the temple as he looked forward to the birth of the Lord's Christ. And he came day after day, knowing that he would see it, so he was faithful. But when you have an anticipation of joy, we are not only faithful, but we are focused. We begin to look towards certain things. The text tells us that Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. He was looking for the salvation of Israel. He was looking for that Savior. He anticipated that something great was going to happen. And he was focused upon that. He was focused upon the realization that he was going to see the Lord's Christ. He focused upon the coming of a Savior. We live in a day when we could use a Savior. We live in a day when the divide between families is so great over political backgrounds and philosophies of how the world ought to be run. And we have this tendency to believe that if we just vote the right person in the office, then things will be set straight. But for those who place their hope and their trust in government, there is huge disappointment. Whether you were in favor of President Obama and the regulations that he put in place, or whether you were against them, it changes. If you were a great supporter of regulations, you felt the last 8 years were wonderful. If you hated them, you thought the last 8 years were horrible. And so those who were celebrating the Democrats in office felt really good and felt really discouraged when they lost office. And the Republicans who hated that, they felt really bad, and now they feel really good. And you know what? In another 3 years, we could have a different president. It just flips back and forth, but one thing never changes, and that is Jesus Christ. And if we place our hope in political offices, we will place our hope in a false hope. But if we anticipate that Jesus Christ is coming again, if we anticipate that He who came as an infant, who lived a perfect life, who died upon a cross, who rose again, who ascended into heaven after telling His disciples He's coming again, if we remain focused on the fact that Jesus is coming again, we remain focused like Simeon on Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:3 says, everyone who has this hope fixed upon Him, the hope that Christ is going to return, everyone who has this hope fixed upon Him purifies himself just as Christ is pure. Where do we fix our hope? What joy do we anticipate? Hardly anyone likes to wait. I don't like to wait that much. I'm pretty sure that one of my kids has trained his kids, his children, my grandkids, that if a package arrives, you just open it. What's Christmas going to be like? Oh, there's another package. Rip it open. And that was really nice. We have under our tree a whole bunch of gifts. And I keep saying to myself, let's think of something to do while we're waiting, while we're waiting. That's Mr. Rogers' song, for those of you of a wrong generation. We think of something to do while we're waiting. I can hardly wait till tomorrow. I want to see what's going to happen. Typically on Christmas Eve, I have to admit, I am the culprit in our family. It's Christmas Eve. We have our Christmas Eve service, and after the Christmas Eve service, we go over to the house, and I keep waiting. Which one of those kids is going to say, can we open a present? And they're all like, hey, oh, tomorrow's coming. It's going to be great tomorrow. And I'm going, don't you want to open a present now? I can't wait until tomorrow. Let's think of something to do while we're waiting. It was a child that was going to be born. What do you do when you're waiting for the return of Christ? If we're focused upon Christ coming back, we are motivated to live in a way which pleases Him. So how about, as we wait for the sound of the trumpet, we live righteous and devout lives? You know when you're not living a righteous life. You know when you've made the decision to act against the will of God. You know when you've given up your devotion, when you've chosen to be distracted by the things of the world and you're no longer devout. While we're waiting for the second coming of Christ, as we anticipate the great joy which shall be ours when the trumpet sounds, we have our hope fixed upon that coming of Christ and purify ourselves because He is pure. When we celebrate Christmas in all its grandeur and the beautiful decorations and the stars and the plastic figures out in your front yard, all the things that go into Christmas, and eventually you have to take that Christmas tree down. The person who lived in the house before me set a great precedent for our house. He didn't take his Christmas decorations down until February. The neighborhood, they think I'm a great guy because I take my direct decorations down right away. But you know, the decorations, as wonderful as they are just glitter if we don't imbue them with meaning. They don't help us focus on the fact that the one who came as a child is coming again. And we focus our attention at Christmas not on ancient history, but on the future anticipation of great joy, which will come to all people when in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be like him because we see him as he is. The anticipation of the coming joy fills us with faith. We know that our faith is going to be made sight. And it keeps us focused, not on the strange happenings of society, but upon the faithfulness of our Savior. The anticipation of joy finally will keep us fulfilled. Simeon had a sense of mission. He went to the temple on a regular basis because he had a sense that God was going to bring salvation to Israel. He was looking for it, and he waited for it, and he planned for it, and he prayed for it. And he wasn't going to be satisfied until he had seen it. And once Simeon sees Jesus, once he has the focus of his attention and faith in sight, he responds with this hymn which we read, and we don't think of it as a hymn because, well, it's just a passage of Scripture. But it's known as the Nunc Dimittis, which is Latin for, "Now let me depart." And this is what he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The hope of the Messiah has been fulfilled. It is a hope which includes us. Simeon understood this, and which is why he said it's a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Whereas it's possible that somebody here is Jewish, it's pretty unlikely. Christ came for us. It wasn't just for Israel. It was for you and for me. It is a mystery which had been kept hidden for ages and generations, but it's now been disclosed to the saints, Paul says. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, a hope which does not disappoint. The same Christ who was held by Simeon, who lived a perfect life, who died upon a cross, was buried and rose again on the third day, this same Christ ascended into heaven and will return with the sound of a trumpet. This is the hope of all who understand Christmas. This ultimately is the joy which we anticipate. Christmas morning is going to be great. We'll get up and we'll have breakfast together. My family will. I don't know whether you guys have breakfast, but we'll open some gifts and we'll have a nice meal. And we anticipate with joy that we gave something that would be meaningful to the people that we have bought for. But the joy which we ultimately anticipate is not about December 25th. That's just a day chosen in antiquity to celebrate the birth of Christ. It might have been December 26th, or it might have been March, or who knows? The date isn't the important part, is it? It's the fact of the birth of Christ which is important. But what would be the joy of Christmas if it were not for the truth of the cross and the hope of the second coming of Christ. What would be the joy of Christmas? There's lots of people been born through the ages. And sometimes you remember their birthdays. I spend some time listening to on CPR Classical. They play a lot of orchestra music. It's really good if you want to go to sleep. And every once in a while, actually, throughout the year, they'll say something like, "And we're going to play Mozart all week because this is the 500th birthday, anniversary of his birthday," or something stupid like that. It's just a composer. Not that that isn't important to the people who are really into that, but it pales in comparison to Christ. Because I've listened to CPR Classical for a number of years, and nobody has ever mentioned that any of these composers are coming back. What makes Christmas important is the kid that was born is coming back. Okay, happy birthday, Mozart or Beethoven or Haydn or whoever. Happy birthday, but you're dead. And by the way, some of their music should be too. Now, I have to say this because my son-in-law is here and he's a classical musician. Just saying that, you know, I might change my tune if he offers me enough money. Christmas. We look at Christmas and we're fulfilled, not because we remember some day seemingly picked at random to celebrate that Christ was born, but because he was born, because he lived that perfect life, because he was crucified, because he rose again, because he ascended into heaven, and because he's coming back, we are fulfilled. Christmas fills us with this incredible power and joy in living. The joy of the first Advent is incredible, but it is nothing in comparison to the joy we anticipate when Christ returns. Simeon's blessed hope pales in comparison to ours. Just as Simeon's hope was fulfilled, so will ours be. The whole message of Christmas finds its value in what happened after Christmas. For the child born in Bethlehem was born in fulfillment of all kinds of prophecies. A prophecy that he would be born in Bethlehem. The prophecy that he would be born to a virgin. Even the prophecy that there would be a slaughter of children and that he would spend time in Egypt. This one born in Bethlehem is born in fulfillment of prophecy. And he goes on to live a life which continued to fulfill prophecy. That he would be called a Nazarene. That he would bring sight to the blind. That he would ride into Jerusalem upon a colt. That he would be despised and rejected. That he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. No one man could manipulate all of these things and just make it happen. And frankly, disciples weren't smart enough to figure it out and write about it and make it all up. With apologies to the disciples, they were people like you and me. It was only because Jesus actually did these things. This Jesus who was born in fulfillment of prophecy, who lived his life in fulfillment of prophecy, who eventually would die upon a cross, again in fulfillment of prophecy, that he would be crucified, that no bones would be broken in his body, that he would be buried among the rich, and that he would rise again. All of these things written in Scripture before Bethlehem. This is the child which Simeon anticipated to bring great joy to Israel and to himself. Good news of great joy for all the people. Jesus is coming again. This is the great joy which we anticipate. This is what moves us to come together on Christmas Eve and say, "We love you, Jesus." And ultimately, it's why we sing "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." A song which, when we sing it tonight, is designed, it was written not to celebrate the first Advent, but to celebrate his second coming. Joy to the world, the Savior has come. This is the great joy which we anticipate. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Because there's more to come. It is the day before Christmas. And all through the land, wherever you look, things look quite grand. The hope of the ages has come to the earth. He came to the world via virgin birth. The prophets and priests and people of old had hoped for fulfillment of all foretold. The coming of Jesus completed their dreams, but he's been gone a long time, or so it seems. We're waiting again for our Savior's return, and Simeon gives us a lesson to learn. Faithful and focused, his joy was completed, just as the scripture so often repeated. So stay focused, stay faithful, stay true to the end. There's coming a time every knee shall bend. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's all I can say, with a wink and a nod. Now, it's Christmas. Make sure that you don't just celebrate an event of the past, but celebrate and anticipate the joy of that great and coming event when the trumpet sounds, when Christ appears in the sky, when we are ushered up into his presence, and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. And all through the ages, the saints will sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen.